Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we're in for a treat today with Leo Laterocca, who is one of the Final Forte finalists, playing on that occasion some dazzling Bartok, a Bartok violin concerto, here with her pianist, Vincent Fu, and for the hour. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you here and look forward to some music. Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Is that a good thing?
I guess it's a good thing.
Good thing?
Yeah.
What do you do if you're nervous?
Well, I try and take a lot of deep breaths and try and just relax as much as possible.
Well, that sounds like a good plan, but also do you think that it helps you to sort of channel to focus? I mean, is it kind of an energy that you can actually put to good use when you play?
Yes, I'd have to say it's a good energy rush, and it gives me a lot of energy, and I guess it makes my playing more exciting.
Well, from what I've experienced, I would say so. If that's partly a product of nervous energy, I say, bring it on. you're a senior, or you're starting your senior year at La Follette High School?
I'm a senior, actually. I'm graduating tonight from La Follette.
Oh. So, So, well, congratulations. That's a big deal. And what are you going to do this summer, then?
This summer, I will be attending the Yellow Barn Music Festival in Putney, Vermont.
Yeah, that's a celebrated place, Putney, for music.
Yes. I went last year, and I really enjoyed it. So,
what do you actually do there?
It is focused on chamber music. We mostly do chamber music, so this year I'll be playing Bartok String Quartet No. 2 and Beethoven Opus 131.
Oh, and those late Beethovens are not exactly
those
are not exactly pushovers either.
Yes.
Well, I know you have a lot of music that we want to pack in during this hour, so we better get to some of it and find out a little bit more about you and your thinking as we go.
Yes.
What did you like to start with?
I will be starting with the Vivaldi Spring, which is one of the four seasons.
Well, today it could have been winter, but
yes.
Let's bring spring.
All right.
Thank you.
Leah Lateroca, my guest today on The Midday with Spring from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. What do you think is the appeal of those concertos? You know, it's hard to believe, but that one, actually the Four Seasons period, were not even really known by more than a few people till 1947. That was the first time they were recorded, and since then there have been hundreds of recordings and performances and elevators and yes. On hold, you know. What do you think is the appeal? What is the appeal for you?
Well, in the Four Seasons was one of Vivaldi's most famous works, and he based it on some sonnets that were written at that time, but he also puts instructions in the music for the performer that have to do with the seasons. So like in the spring, there's a dog barking in the second movement, or there's a churning, a flowing river. So there are different aspects of nature.
And people like to pick out the, oh, here's the dog, here's the river, that kind of thing. That's always fun for people to visualize, visual cues for music. Mm-hmm. What about the Brahms that you have here? This is the first movement from the first Brahms violin sonata. He didn't write very many violin sonatas.
He wrote three violin sonatas, and this is his first one, like you said. And he wrote this, it's based on some songs he had written earlier in his career.
Based on songs.
Mm-hmm.
That's true of the first movement, too.
Yes.
All right, well, let's go right to it.
All right.
The first movement of Brahms violin sonata number 1 in D.
Thank you.
Leah LaRocca and her accompanist, Vincent Fu, with the first movement of the Violin Sonata No. 1 in D by Brahms. And speaking of getting it right, you're graduating tonight from La Follette High School.
Yes, I am.
That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you do have the summer plan, but college.
I will be attending the Robert McDuffie Center for Strings at Mercer University.
Oh, now I've talked to Robert McDuffie not so long ago, and that is mm-hmm. quite an interesting facility that he has down there near his, it's in his hometown, I think,
yes,
near Atlanta.
Yes, it's in his hometown. It's about an hour away from Atlanta.
And it has an interesting focus. I was telling somebody about this the other day. Of course, I'm sure you learn all about music and musical technique, mm-hmm. but you also learn about the profession of being a musician.
Yes, he wants us all to be able to market ourselves as musicians, because there are so many musicians these days. You have to be able to speak and do publicity stuff and the entrepreneurial part.
That's
of
right.
Music.
Yeah, well, I remember many years ago now, some musician that I was talking to saying something to the effect of, who was it that ever said this was not a business? You know, there has definitely got to be the business mm-hmm. side of it.
Yes. So he focuses on that a lot.
And what else are you hoping to learn there?
Well, another great thing about the Center for Strings is there are only 26 students, and so with all of the faculty they have, we all play chamber with the faculty, and so we can learn directly from the faculty, not just in our lessons, but in concerts, and we have a lot of rehearsals with them.
And you've done some of that already. You've played chamber music with some pretty stellar, well-known performers.
Yes, I guess.
Well, in the interest of packing in more of this music, and we have a lot of it, let's go right to the virtuoso violinist who was also a fraud.
Yes, Kreisler.
Fritz Kreisler, although a fraud in a positive sense, and he, instead of claiming the works of others as his own, he attributed his own works to others. A little different. You can't blame him too much for that, but it was a way of not loading the program too much with his own stuff until he was discovered by a man named Holland Downs, who found some ancient piece of music with the ink still wet on Kreisler's piano, and then the jig was up. So how about what do you have here from Fritz Kreisler?
I will be playing the recitativo and scherzo, which is actually one of Kreisler's only pieces that he actually did write himself. He did not transcribe this piece, and it is unaccompanied. So
pure Kreisler.
Yes, pure Kreisler.
Thank you.
recitativo and scherzo for violin solo by Fritz Kreisler. Some interesting techniques in there, all packed into a fairly short piece.
Yes, well, Kreisler was really good at technique himself, so he liked to put it in his pieces.
What are some of those things going on in there?
He does a lot of ricochet, which is bouncing the bow. It makes that kind of harsher noise. And he also does some slides with double stop slides, tremolo, kind of.
Was that a thing that was particularly popular, or let's say more popular 85 years ago than today, do you think?
Yes, I think so.
Kind of Kreisler sounds sort of quaint.
He has the Viennese style of playing, so it's a little different.
Well, you also have his arrangement here of something by Gluck, who was a predecessor of Mozart, made a lot more money doing the same work than Mozart did. That would be Gluck.
Yes, this is an excerpt from one of his operas, and this is called Melody.
Melody by Gluck, transcribed by Fritz Kreisler. Well, if you were going to give me a violin lesson, how would you start, other than telling me probably some other instrument would be advisable?
Well, I mean, if you were a beginner, I would start with the basics on how to hold it and how to feel comfortable playing.
What would you tell me about the instrument itself, its capabilities and its liabilities?
Well, it's very gorgeous. It's very pretty. You can make a lot of different sounds. There's a large variety of sounds. You can make a lot of different textures. It's different than piano, say, because you also have to worry about your intonation. Piano, there are just keys. And
that's all, yeah.
Not to say piano is easy. But with violin and any stringed instrument, you have to worry about intonation as well.
Making sure your pitch is just right. You don't have frets to look at or anything like that. You have to just be right on center.
Yes.
Just by knowing where that spot is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ready for some more Kreisler?
I am. Actually, this one is Danse Espagnole.
And it's arranged by Fritz Kreisler from the original by Manuel de Falla, which was for piano, probably?
Well, it came, actually, it's from an opera, a Spanish opera. So you can hear a lot of Spanish rhythms, and you can hear castanets and different textures like that.
We'll be listening. Kind of a workout after a while, isn't it?
Yes, it's a bit of a workout, but it's fun.
Kind of glad that piece isn't a lot longer?
No, it's fun. It's a fun piece to play.
Well, all right, are we about ready to let the canary out?
Yes, we are.
All right. Tell us about the – you want to tell us about this canary?
This is called the Hot Canary, and it's by Paul Nero, and he was a jazz violinist composer. And this is probably his most famous work.
Hot Canary. Thank you. Mary by Paul Nero. You know, Leah, I definitely heard the canary in there. Toward the end, though, I kind of thought I heard a cat. Could that be bad news?
In fact, my cats meow when I play this piece.
Do they? Do you play much jazz? I mean, I don't know if you even call jazz.
This is the closest I've come to jazz. So
there is some great jazz violin music, of course, going all the way back to Stefan Grappelli in the 30s. Yeah. So it's out there. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do next? I mean, generally speaking.
Well, I'd like to play in an orchestra and do a lot of chamber music. After college, this is.
After college.
After college.
Well, if you were to play an orchestral piece, so do you have your sights set on one that's off in the distance there?
I don't know. There are just too many. I like a lot of the big romantic symphonies a lot.
The big splashy romantic violin concertos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
There's some major ones out there.
Mm-hmm. There.
So what's the hardest part of playing a violin for you after all these years? How many years have you been at it?
I've been playing since I was four.
Four. That seems to be the key age anymore. I mean, for starting.
Yeah, a lot of people start when they're around that age.
With those little, was it 1/8 Suzuki kind of thing?
1/8 mm-hmm. or 1/16 or whatever it is, 1/4. Yeah.
And so what is today, after all that experience, this would be 13 years of playing the violin pretty intensively. What's the hardest part of it for you?
I guess the hardest thing for me, what I'm working on, especially right now, is to make my playing more refined and make it more elegant, because I can do a lot of technique stuff, but then I'll lose track of a phrase, for instance, and I won't sustain through to the phrase because I'll do like a random accent halfway in the middle. So for me, it's a lot about learning to listen a lot more carefully to myself.
To yourself.
While I practice.
Do you listen to other recordings, other performers, and say, wow, that's so different from the way I would have thought of it?
Yes. I mean, a lot of times I know how I want the phrase to go in my head. I know what I want, but then it's harder for me to actually get it to happen while I play.
Are there specific techniques that you find particularly challenging at this point?
All these fast pieces, I mean, you have to work on them a lot. And there are just a few bow issues I have with my bow control.
That would seem to be a fairly important one there.
Yes, very important.
So you're looking forward to the chamber music this summer, and that's just a way of kind of getting scaling things down in a way. I mean,
yes, it's a break from my solo music, and then when I come back, I'll start up my solo music again.
Well, we'll look forward to would you be coming back here, coming back to Wisconsin, playing on this very show, perhaps?
Yes,
is that a possibility?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to your management as soon as we're done here. Well, Leah Lataroka, a pleasure. Thank you for being with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And thanks for bringing your pianist, Vincent Fu. Thanks to our engineer, Joe Hartke, to Ruth Ann Bessman in our FM studio, and to our piano technician, Lyle Hirons. Thanks to our guests in our studio today and to you out there.